I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. Here we are already in the month of May, and I have a topic today, my particular assignment. It made me think because it's going to sound a little bit backwards, but like I always say, things in the spirit realm sometimes operate backwards. They get things done through the back door, so to speak. They can be very inside out and upside down. And this is one of those things that I'm going to talk about that I want you to think about. Because many opportunities that I know that I've been able to achieve were not necessarily because I knew what I was doing. It's true. It sounds backwards, but it's true. It's because I was willing to try, though. And one of the scariest things I've learned about being able to achieve things in life is to take that first step in the dark when you can't see and you don't know what you're doing, but there's a voice inside of you that says, you know what, this is the right thing to do, and with God's help, I got to try to get this done. So that's my assignment for this week. It's the first of the month, so I have my good friend Maria Vitale is here with us. How you doing, Miss Maria?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And, man, this year is just zooming by because it will be just, what, a matter of 1 or 2 weeks or so when it's really going to be the unofficial beginning of summer. And,
Half of the year is already over.
It seems, truth, that the older you get in years, the quicker life seems to go by. Do you agree with that?
Oh, my gosh. Every day. I don't even know where this morning has gone.
It's true. I mean, I always ask this question, and I remember being like, I don't know, late teens, early 20s. I used to hang out with this lady in Salem, Virginia, and she was in her 80s. And I'm just one of these young people that like to help out people who needed help, and she was going deaf and going blind, and she's still at her house, and I wanted to help her with, you know, cooking and ironing and cleaning and all that stuff, because there would always be this bit of sage in there for me, this bit of wisdom in there for me about life, and I always waited to hear these things. And one thing she always told me is, man, you know, time flies by, you know, once your life gets going. And I said, well, how old do you feel like you are? Because she's like 83 at that time. She goes, I don't know, maybe I should be about 38 now. And I'm like, wow. But, you know, it's so true, because even when your body starts to degenerate as you get older, your mind and in your heart can still feel very much years and years back. And, you know, that's something that if you're a young person and listening in, take heed and note that. And don't waste any time. Some of the biggest mistakes we grown-ups make is that we don't impress upon our children that time is a lot shorter than they think it is, and you've got to get on purpose. Because, you know, in the school system, they're good about teaching goals. They have you take these achievement tests toward your goals, what you can do, what you're capable of doing. But they really don't work too much with not so much goals, but what your purpose is. So anyway, that's something that I wanted to hit on a little bit today, because to me, having a goal and having a purpose are two totally different things. So saying that, in retrospect, when you look back, can you think of something, Maria, where you really didn't know what you were doing, but you knew you had to do it and you had to take that one step out in the dark?
Gosh, so many different times and so many different areas of my life. You know, you were talking about an older lady that you knew. My grandma used to say to me, open your eyes and see what you don't want to see. And I never understood it, because she said it in Italian, abre gli occhi. And I never understood it. And I think what she was saying was walking towards something that even if it's scary to walk towards it, see what you have to see and make the right move. This has happened to me in my career, in my personal life, gosh, even how I've had to handle everything with my divorce, how I've had to handle being a mom. There are so many times in life when you walk a journey, and like you said, it almost is a feeling of, is this really what I have to do? But you know it's the right thing to do. Remember when I was at Fox and I got passed up for a big promotion?
I do. And let's break this down for a minute, because you're saying a lot here, and I want to break this down. So let's do, since you brought up Fox News, let's talk about the professional side of it. So,
and
you
for those of you who don't know, Karen and I used to work together at Fox News. She was the weekend meteorologist, weather girl, and then during the week she'd do reporting, and I was the assignment editor, so I'd help coordinate all the stories that we would cover on a daily basis. And I really believed, and still do, that I was the right person to get a promotion that year. I had worked hard, but I was a young woman in an industry, and of course this was, what, maybe 20 years ago almost? And I was passed up for this job that I really felt I deserved.
Yes, you were. I remember. Okay, so when you talk about, you know, a letdown in your life, and that is one, you don't get the promotion that you thought you deserved and you thought you were going to get. Exactly what did you perceive to be the one step in the dark that you took that was scary, but you did it anyway?
I left the industry. I had to, and I had a degree in journalism and mass. I had two degrees, one in journalism, one in mass communication, and it just didn't feel right. Well, then I became a licensed real estate agent because it felt right. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had been a journalist for so many years, worked behind the scenes, in front of the camera, and back of the camera. That's all I knew. All I knew was how to interview people and coordinate these different things that need to be coordinated, but I knew after I didn't get that job that there was something better for me, and I had to take the step in the journey and say, okay, and it was scary because I thought, how am I going to buy a house? And let me just tell for anybody who's listening who's wondering how to make that career change, because that was a big monumental in my life, listen, my husband left me. I had two kids, lived in my mom's basement, and when I really got into real estate, I didn't even own a house. How is somebody really going to buy a house from somebody who didn't even own one at the time? I had to sell it. I couldn't afford the payment on my own. But I knew that if I would show up, God would show up and help me co-create. And, Karen, it just felt right.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I would like to emphasize today, because so many people stop at that one hurdle right there, where they go, well, I'm locked in. I'm not really doing what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing, but I got a family or I got kids, I got a mortgage to pay, and I need to be able to continue to do this job because it makes me money. And that's where I want to encourage you, is I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow and then your family doesn't have food. I'm saying take that one step toward that goal, no matter how scary, no matter how dark it is, even if it takes you twice the amount of time to pick your foot up and plow it forward in front of you, and you're tapping down with your toe to see if there's solid ground there and you're on some kind of a path, that's better because you're moving in the right direction. And, you know, I always talk a lot about from my book, The Bible, and I know it's your book too, where we talk about, you know, the teachings of Paul, which are called the Pauline teachings. The teachings of Paul, he says to run the race like you're going to win it. He says, when you put your hand to a plow, don't look backwards. In other words, you need to take some sort of initiative to step forward in what you know feels right. Now, feelings can be fooling, I understand, but if you're a spiritual person and you feel like God has called you and you're walking with God in the spirit realm, those feelings are very important. Maria, can you think of a time where you wondered about your feelings, but your feelings absolutely turned out to be the right thing after all?
Oh, my gosh. I remember, I don't want to get too personal, but getting married. I remember I thought I was in love. I thought I was, but in this core of my stomach. I remember thinking, oh God, is this really the right thing, and doubting it so much. I remember even most recently, about 5 years ago, moving firms. And, so you talk about a feeling, yes, but I want to go back to something you said, you know, taking that step in the right direction. And some people might be listening to this going, well, how do I know that step is the right direction? Because there's a flow, and everything starts coming together. And when I moved firms, and I went from one big firm to another big firm, I was actually told, you won't do good at that firm. You will fail at that firm. But I knew with that feeling, a strong feeling, that this is where I needed to be. And to this day, when I drive into my office, I feel like I'm in alignment to where I'm supposed to be. It's not all a bed of roses, and everything is so easy, but there is a flow. And by the flow, it means everything comes together. The scripture is Romans 8:28, all things work together for the greater good of God, right?
Right.
For those who love the Lord. So to answer your question, yes, that feeling and taking it in the right direction, but it's like everything just works out, right? Everything comes together.
You're in the flow. If you are a spiritual person, and B, you're in the flow of what you're designed to do, absolutely, things will work out. And by the same token, a lot of times, you know, people try to do things and it's one obstacle after another. And people, you know, you could take that as a sign, well, maybe I'm not in the flow of what I'm supposed to do. For that, I want to tell you to give it a little bit of time before you, like, surrender, you know, hold up the surrender flag. You mentioned something here about somebody who told you you'll never make it, you know, where you are, because you went to a bigger, better place in a city of 3 million people. It's a high-pressure job, but you know what? Not everybody will make it. And you were told in a smaller office where you started that you weren't going to make it in real estate. I've got that many times. I mean, I could tell you right now, I've had a very lucrative career in broadcasting, as you mentioned, for well over 20 years, 20, 25 years, something like that. I remember when I was first starting out, in television, and I had to shop my tapes around. It was actually a Fox affiliate in a very small town that I started in. It was so small, it was like Hunt Market 181, whatever. And for those who don't know, market size is how you range, you know, how good you are and how much money you're making. Because the small
and
markets,
and how many people are in the city, right?
Right. Yeah. The small markets, there's not a lot of people. And then you get into the larger markets, and, you know, you're getting into millions of people, and that's in the
more
career
money
of
in advertising. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. In the career of broadcasting journalism, that's got kind of the goal there. But I had someone from day one, when I was trying to get my break, look at my tape and say, you know what, you're not going to make it. And I look back now, and I remember that, and I think, why would someone tell you that? You know, the only reason someone would ever tell you you're not going to make it, ladies and gentlemen, is because they're afraid that you will.
Hmm.
They're afraid you're going to pass them up. They're afraid you are going to be successful. Because, you know, usually someone that has the courage to step out in the dark will eventually move in the right direction to make it, because that's how spiritual things work, and they're trying to discourage you. And, you know, it's the same thing with this gentleman. Fortunately, this news director, I didn't listen to him. I kind of laughed it off and went on, because I had my mindset that I knew that I was good at something and that this is something that could happen. And I knew that if I was called by God, that this was going to be used as a greater purpose somewhere in my life. And I had to start weaving that piece of material or that tapestry to get to that point. But
I want to ask
again.
Go ahead.
I
want to
say
you.
It again. Oh, well, let me say it again, and then you can ask me. People that tell you you're not going to make it or you're not going to be successful, that they even hint at it or roll one eyeball at you, are doing that because they are afraid you are going to make it. Okay, sister, what's your question?
Well, you said something I want to talk on. We keep talking about the flow, but you were able to rebound very quickly, and so you laughed it off when someone told you that. What advice do you have for someone who's listening who maybe they've been told they're no good, they're not going to succeed? What one piece of advice you would give them? And then the next question is, how do they start to get into their flow? How do they take that first step? How did you
right.
do it?
And they're two very good questions. you know, even when I had made it into major market TV, worked for a couple pretty big markets, which is why I'm here in Denver, actually, and still in Denver, because I took a job in Denver. You know how you have interns and you have people that want to come visit the TV station because they have a desire to do it. I'm talking about young people in high school or college. And, you know, they will always come and ask you, well, how did you do it? I mean, what advice can you give me? I mean, they always say that. And or they say, would you look at my tape? I pop their tape in and it's just terrible. I mean, because they don't have any experience. All they have is an air check, not even an air check, just a demo tape. But I always told them they were good, and I always gave them good advice, because you never know when one of those people are going to end up working for a huge, huge job. I mean, NBC, Nightly News. I mean, who knows? You've got to be very careful, because people get very good at what they do if they're not discouraged. And so you want to be very careful not to discourage other people, just like you don't want people to discourage you. And sometimes, you know, Maria, people are really good at discouragement. It can be very very subtle. It could be very indirect, but it's just as painful. It's like throwing a stone when you're not looking. You're almost like, well, wait a minute. What's she mean by that? Right? You know, it's almost very subtle. It's the same thing, just a different technique, where somebody out of their own insecurity is trying to tell you that you're not good enough to do something, because they know that you can possibly very much do that job or get it done. So that, okay, so I already totally forgot the second question. What's the second question? Oh, yeah.
So you talked about not getting discouraged, and the real answer to that question is what? You just have enough faith in yourself? You believe in yourself?
You know what? There's a country song that goes, been knocked down by the slamming door, picked myself up and came back for more. And you've really got to be that way. Because if you know that you feel like something's correct, that's being spiritual, is listening to that intuition inside of you. Can you calm yourself and still yourself enough to listen to those intuitions inside of you? Because those intuitions, if you believe in God, and you and I believe in Jesus Christ, that is the voice of God. That's hearing God. That's hearing Christ talking to you, because he designed you. He designed you in his perfect creation for a reason. So you've got to listen to those voices inside of you to take a cue. This feels right. And the more you can practice listening to that intuitive voice, that spiritual reasoning, the easier it is going to be to hear it. I mean, there are times now that I can be shopping anywhere at Walmart and hear stuff loud and clear on what I'm supposed to do. And that just comes from years and years, just like in martial arts you train. It comes from years and years of spiritual training where I'm open to it. But do not open yourself up if you are not protected. And for you and I, that protection comes through the blood of Christ. Because there's a lot of power out there, and there's a lot of way to get spiritual cues and hear spiritual voices. Make sure it's the right one, but if you are blood protected, you will hear the right voice. Okay, and so Maria, your other question was to me,
How do you start to get in the flow? What is the first thing you really need to do to move in the right direction that is for you, whether it be in your marriage and your parenting and your career? What is the one thing that people should do today, right now, to start moving in that direction?
The first thing you got to do is be calm. If you want to move, slow down. See what I mean about opposites? If you want to go, be still. Be still, because even in our book it says, be still, and then you'll know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You have to calm yourself to listen to the spiritual realm. It's not something that's going to force you into listening, because there is free will when it comes to the spirit realm, and you have to be able to take the time. Take the time. Guys, we take the time to work out, or we take the time to educate ourselves, so we get a better position, or we go to college or whatever. You got to take the time to work on your spiritual side too. You have to do that. That's step one. Step number two is to listen in for those cueings and those knowings. Think back over your life and the progress you've made and what felt right to you and what you felt did not feel right to you, and use that as a clue. Start to find out what the formula is for your plan. What is your plan to be here for? I'm not talking about anything self-serving. See, that's this all works in the physical realm. Don't get me wrong. But I'm here to try to get you to live your life and elevate yourself in the spirit realm. Because the physical realm is very self-serving. The spiritual realm always has to do about how you can help others. That's the difference in the two realms. And when you learn to help other people, what happens is that magical flow comes back to you where you get what you wanted anyway. You know, let me tell you something. Just like 2-3 days ago, I was talking to another female martial artist. She has a school. And she was calling me because she wanted advice on how she could break in the martial arts writing industry. So she was asking me, I said, ask me questions. I'll tell you whatever you need to know. So she started asking me, well, how did you get, you know, your first book deal? And I was shocked at how I had to answer her because it's like I didn't go through the normal ways of getting a major book deal with Penguin Books, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo, back in the 90s. That was my first major publishing. It almost really is like I took the elevator right up and it fell in my lap. And I even said, no, I don't have time for this right now. My life was a mess. And it got pushed back on me again. I said, well, evidently the spirit world realm is wanting me to do this book. And that book changed my position as a noted book author because I took that deal. And I'm so glad I did, even though my life was just chaos at that point. But God will do that. But it wasn't anything forced. It wasn't anything that was, you know, made me feel like I was outside of my comfort zone to a point that I couldn't get it done. So, you know, and every other book deal also that I've done, except for one self-published book, all my other book deals have been because they pretty much just fell in my lap. I never really sought it out. And she's like, well, how did that happen? And I'm like, you know, sister, all I can tell you is I believe in God. I believe in the power of Christ, and I know that I surrendered it and tried to move in that flow, and he made it happen. So that's my best example that I can give of that. You know, you don't need to stress out over it, but it's time. But at least pick your leg up and put your foot down somewhere on that path that you know you need to take.
Well, and once you went into that, everything, I guess you surrendered, everything came full circle. You just, you know, she probably couldn't believe, how did it happen? Honest to God, true story. I'm walking last week. I've got jeans on, jean shorts on. It's a Saturday. One of my sisters is looking for a house. I took her. I'm very casual. I've got a baseball cap on, and this man comes up to me. He said, we're in front of a house getting ready to go in. He said, are you the broker? I said, no, I'm not. I'm just here with clients. He said, but are you a realtor? And I said, I am. He goes, well, good. Could you come look at my house because I want to sell it? He walked up to me on the street. Other realtors can't even, some people might not even believe the story, that I'm walking on the street, out of my car, ready to walk in, and just like you got that book deal, was the same way I got that client, right? Because is it coincidence? I don't know.
It could be coincidence if it was one time, but look back, how many times has stuff like that happened to you? A lot. A lot. I mean, where things fall in your lap, where your phone rings. It's not like you have to do the farming or whatever. I think I remember they call that in real estate.
Well, this and how many books do you have? How many books
exactly.
do you have?
Exactly. Why a third book?
Right, because they come. I have to tell you, I was just the guest speaker at Arvada High School. I went to high school there, and I wanted to go and give back to the community, and I wrote something down, and I said, you know, at 18 years old, things I wish I would have known, and this ties into everything. You know, nobody at 18 says, when I grow up, I want to sit on the corner and, you know, I don't want to get divorced. I don't want to sit on the corner with the sign. I don't want to get an illness. Nobody says that. But I had to tell them all something I want to share today. Having confidence. And listen, this is hard. I have to work on confidence in different areas of my life daily. But confidence is con, which means the Latin word for with. Fide means faith, with faith. Here's what I told them. Look up. It's a new day. Thank God. Get up. Mentally be strong. Dress up. Show up. Be up. Move up and go up. Go up to closer to your higher purpose of where your journey is supposed to be.
Very good. And in doing so, don't forget to be still and take time. So it's like, well, I got to keep going up, up, up. But yeah, you still got to take time to be still because you have to listen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not bragging about ourselves. We're just trying to give you some plain everyday examples of what it's like to take a very scary step in the dark and just have that knowing that the spirit realm, for us, that is our Savior Jesus Christ, is going to take care of you. And that if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you don't need to worry about how things are going to fall in place. They just do. And they will, because that's how the spirit realm works. And you know, that's what faith means. Believing that things are going to turn out okay, even though you may not be able to see that at the time. I mean, that's what being spiritual is. Being spiritual has a whole lot to do with the future. It has to do with believing, faith, believing that things are going to be okay. Wow. Pretty good stuff. Heidi, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I guess I would want you, and I know we only have a couple minutes left, when you say be still, just elaborate on that for a couple minutes. For some people, even for me, what do you mean be still? Like, we know what we have to do, so be still and listen to that voice. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, there has to be some place every day, every 24 hours, I don't care what time it is, you've got to put in your routine a very special place for you. I have a place in my hometown where I grew up that I call my God spot. I saw this place before I even physically saw it. Even from the age of 12, 13, 14, I saw this place. And in my mind, I would go to this place and talk to God since I was just a girl. And then about a couple of years ago, I actually found this place. It existed, and it blew me away. That's why I call it my God spot. But that's, I can't go back to Roanoke, Virginia every time I want to pray. But in my mind, I can go to that very spot, and I do. I could be sitting in a chair, laying down in bed, somewhere where I'm not distracted by any noise. I'll sit down, and I'll go to this God spot, and I'll just start talking to God. And that is the best way to start. But if you don't routine it in, it's like, you know, saying you join a gym and you're never going to go. You have to have discipline at least enough to show up, guys. I mean, it's the same thing with working out. You've got to have the discipline to at least show up. Even if you're just going to show up at the gym and stretch for 15 minutes, great. Do something. And it's the same thing spiritually. Go to that place, whatever it is, and show up. Arrive there. Again, when you're opening yourself up to the spirit world, and you need to be careful, Maria, because there's a lot of stuff out there that can get in when you open up with an invitation, and it's not all good. For me, there's Christ and only Christ. He's my protection. He's my power source. I know I'm covered, so when I open up, I know that I'm going to be in the situation, in the flow, where I'm just going to hear his voice. I'm not going to hear any other voices. I know, you know, I laugh because I know there was this thing in the media where there's a show on TV, and I hate that show. I always have anyway, whether they were going to go after Mike Pence, our vice president, or not. But he said something about, you know, Jesus Christ told him to do something, and they pretty much pummeled him over that, saying he was a nut because he can hear Christ talking to him. Listen, all I can say about that is if you don't like what Mike Pence did, baby, you really ain't going to like me. That's nothing compared to what you can do in the spirit realm. Just to sit down and listen is nothing compared to what you can do in the spirit realm. So anyway, you want to be careful with that, but that's what I mean when I said be still. You've got to take the time, and you've got to show up for that. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, and I want to say, too, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't know. I mean, I've been so blessed in so many ways. I don't know where I would be without accepting the Lord into my heart. But taking that time is something that I need to do, too. I needed to be reminded of that, too, because, like you said, it's not just about going up, 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 up. Sometimes it's just pausing between the ups. But I do think that if anybody listening to this has the same journey that we do, accepting the Lord and making it part of your quiet place, your happy place, you will too be in the flow soon.
Yeah, every day. Don't let one 24-hour period go by where you're not at your own personal God spot or place where you're going to listen. That's the only way you're going to get good is to show up, just like everything else in life. Okay. All right, Miss Marie, give yourself a plug. Tell everybody where you are and how they can reach you.
So I'm in Denver, Colorado. I'm with Liv Sotheby's International Realty, and I can help you with real estate globally. And I hope you all enjoy a wonderful, beautiful spring and soon-to-be summer.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much for being our guest once again. We always look forward to having you. And just to kind of piggyback on that, I also, like I mentioned, I have four books out, and I just would love if you would Google them and get them and read them. They're very philosophical with a martial arts twist. You don't have to be a martial artist to understand the things that I say when I write. Thank you for reading my Karate Magazine columns now for over 20 years. I do have book signings coming up and appearances where I'm going to be speaking. So I just real quick, I want to plug that. I'm going to be at the Karate College with Bill Superfoot Wallace in Radford, Virginia again at the end of June. And I will be holding a seminar there and doing a book signing. And this will be a hands-on physical type seminar. And then at the end of July, I'm being inducted into the Korean Masters Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. Very honored. This is the real deal for me to be able to do this. And I'm also going to be speaking at that. And then at the end of September, I'm going to be at the Sport Karate Museum speaking at the women's female martial artist largest gathering that we know of. So if you can come out and you're in those areas, I would absolutely love to meet you. And you know what? Shake your hand and I'll just put a book in it and you can give me some money. No, I'm just kidding. Come on out. I'd love to meet you. Either way, pray for us. And we appreciate it because we're on our journey, too, and we'll pray for your journey, too, if you want. Okay, I think that's it, Maria. We're out of time. I'll just say thank you, everybody, and God bless you, and we'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Karen Eden from the Eden Assignment, and I would like to tell you about a very special sponsor for the show who also happens to be my longtime friend, Maria Vitale of Liv Sotheby's, real estate agent at Maria at mariasdenverhomes.com. And I want you to know that she can take care of all of your real estate needs from, get this, anywhere on the entire planet. That's right. Nowhere's too far for her to reach out and help you with all of your real estate needs. Her phone number is 720-366-5121. Again, that's Maria Vitale, real estate agent at Liv Sotheby's downtown Cherry Creek in Denver. Her email is maria at mariasdenverhomes.com. She's able to help you, and I can vouch for her that she's a good person, and she will definitely take care of you. So thank you very much, Maria, for sponsoring the Eden Assignment, and we'll see you all next time for another show.
The American Martial Arts Alliance, along with the AMAA Masters Radio Network, is launching Proud to Be a Martial Artist. This will be the theme of our 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. Nominate someone for this great honor, someone that has made a contribution to the martial arts that has changed lives, that unsung hero that has done so much for the community, so much for lives. We want to know about that person. Visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination today. So many martial artists have lost the opportunity to share their story. Remember, visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination. For questions and support, call 919-489-6100.